I too would like to say good morning to everyone. Certainly good to be out on a cold and wet morning, but isn't it great to have a warm and dry place to worship? And when I think about that, I'm reminded that there are many of our brethren who will meet really later on today for us, for them on the Lord's Day, in places that aren't warm and dry, or maybe is extremely warm this morning and extremely dry, but they're going to meet and give glory to God. And what a great blessing it is for us to be able to gather together as well. This morning's lesson is about the blessing of pain. That might seem like a unusual title for you, to you. I have felt pain in many ways. I know the feeling of burning pain, of tearing two major ligaments in my knee. I also learned that after surgery, when my leg swelled up inside the cast, that the pain of recovery can often be worse than the pain of the injury itself. I have experienced the emotional pain of watching a brother in Christ turn his back on the Lord. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Mohawk Valley, where I'm a member, is going to have to do when I get back home is there are three people that have turned their back on the Lord that we're going to have to mark. And that's always hard. And especially when it's somebody that you work so close with, that you played a part in their conversion and you've seen some spiritual growth in them, and now they've decided they don't want any part of the Lord anymore. I've come face to face with my own spiritual pain. To know that my sin has caused God's Son to die, and that I have caused, in some cases, a lifetime of pain because of my sin. And none of that can compare to the pain of dealing with a child with terminal cancer, and then her ultimate passing. Even to this day, people will say to me, "I just can't imagine." And I'll say, "You know what? I'm not trying to be ugly, but you can't. You can't imagine what it's like, because I certainly had no clue this is what it would be like. I had no clue that 7 years later, there's still not a day that goes by that I don't think about her. And I don't have to think about her. I just do. And there's a hole inside that my heart that's never going to be filled in this life. So I know. There are some people in this world who will go as far as to say that because there is pain in the world, surely there must not be a God. Because if there was a God, why would He allow pain in the world? I've never went that far, but I have to admit to you that there have been times where I've wondered, I've been confused about God's purpose for pain in the world. But as the title of this lesson already suggests, I've come to the conclusion that pain may even be a blessing to us. That doesn't mean I like pain anymore. But it does help me understand when pain comes. It helps me deal with the suffering that comes from living in a broken and dying world. And I hope that after this lesson and our time together, that you'll better appreciate pain when it comes and understand that it plays a purpose, and that you can see the purpose and deal with the pain a little better. The first thing that I would like to say about the blessing of pain is that pain corrects. We understand this in the physical world, right? I mean, is there anybody here who hasn't ever touched a hot stove, grabbed the hot wire instead of the ground, or you didn't know that the breaker was still on and you grabbed that wire and you think, "Man, I'll never do that again." You learn that lesson very quickly. And so we understand that in the physical world. Well, we have to understand that God uses emotional and spiritual pain, if you will, for the same reasons, to protect our souls in the same fashion. You know, there is time where God purposely inflicts emotional pain on us to get us to change. We've looked at Jeremiah a couple times. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 13. And I want you to notice what God tells Jeremiah in that place. Jeremiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 22. And if you say in your heart, why have these things come upon me? For the greatness of your iniquity. Your skirts have been uncovered, your heels made bare. Ask the Ethiopian, or can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Therefore I will scatter them like stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is your lot, the portion of your measures, because from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore I will uncover your skirts over your face, that your shame may appear. I have seen your adulteries and your lustful neighings, the lewdness of your harlotry, your abominations on the hills, in the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! Will you still not be made clean? God says, I'm going to make you feel shame. Why? Because He wants them to change. Because they are so filled with iniquity that He's got to take that next step and do something to make them feel pain. You know, I believe that God tries to lead, you know, you've heard this phrase, God tries to lead some people around with a stick, a carrot on a stick, other people He beats with the stick. He's willing to beat us with the stick. I'm one of those people that, especially when I was a lot younger, I had to be beat with the stick all the time. And I'm learning a little bit more to let God lead me around with the carrot, but He used to have to beat me. Sometimes God will let you hit rock bottom so that you have no place to go but up towards Him. And I think He lets us feel that pain. Paul, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, what was he trying to do? Was he trying to cause pain? Not really. Did he use pain? Yes, he did. And that's what he says in 2 Corinthians when he writes to them expressing his gratitude that they have changed. And he talks about writing that letter to them. And one of the things that he says, I didn't want you to feel pain. I'm glad you felt pain because you changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 8, he says, For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, not only for a while, but only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things, you proved yourself to be clear in this manner. The Hebrew writer tells us that God chastens those whom He loves. And no chastening seems pleasant at the time of the chastening. But it produces good things in us. I remember one time in our family, even to this day, when after our supper, we do what we call blessings and appreciation. So we go around the table and we say one thing that was a blessing from God today. And we say what we appreciate. Like some days we do the person on our right, some days we do the person on our left. But what you appreciate about that person, and we did that when the kids were young, to kind of help with that animosity that comes between siblings, you know, for them to have to say something they appreciate about their brother or sister. But one day, Simon David, he wasn't a very big fellow, but he had one of those days, He and Mom went round and round, and Dad had to get involved and that kind of day. And he was appreciating Mom that day. And he said, thing I appreciate about Mom is she's willing to spank me when I need it. That wasn't his exact words, but that was the sentiment of what he said. I appreciate that he's willing to spank me when I need it. Because he got it. And that was like one of those, breakthrough moments. Like, okay, all right, we're doing good. You know, this is doing good. And that's what God does for us. And again, it never feels good at the moment, but I can look back on my life and I can think about some things that God chastened me about, and I wasn't happy about at the time, but I look back down and think, man, I am so glad that happened. I think about some of the dumb decisions I was about to make. And God said, oh no, you're not. And I'm so glad that He chastened me then, even though it hurt at that moment. And the reason I want to point this out to us, the reason I want us to think about this, is because we have a tendency to shy away from such chastening of the Lord. Because of the very fact that it does hurt. In Isaiah's day, the people were saying to Isaiah, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy to us deceit. Don't tell us what we need to hear. Tell us what we want to hear. Churches will be full of people tomorrow with that very same attitude. And some of them will be sitting in buildings with Church of Christ on the front. Our Christians meet here on the front. They will be. Paul warned us about this when he wrote to Timothy. He told Timothy, he said, someday you need to understand. He said, you preach the word. You stand up and you preach the truth. Why? Because someday even Christians are going to want to have their ears tickled. And so they're going to look for preachers who just tickle their ears. But we need that pain from you. We need to feel shame sometimes. When we've done something shameful, we need to feel shame. So that we'll correct ourselves. Let God correct us. And give thanks that God is willing to correct us. Point number two, and this is again one of those things that I've said already about trials, but pain will help us learn to grow as well. You know, I don't believe for a moment that all pain in this world can be attributed to chastening of God any more than I believe all the physical pain that happens to me is a result of my own foolishness. Sometimes things just happen. And Solomon even tells us that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, the race is not always to the swift, the war is not always to the strong. He says time and chance happen to everybody. Sometimes things just happen. And that's hard for a lot of people to accept. But sometimes things just happen. You didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. It just happened. But you know what? Even at that moment, it's an opportunity for me to grow. Job never knew why he was being tested. Sometimes we don't know if something is chastening from the Lord or testing from the Lord or just it happens. But you know what? In every one of those cases, it's an opportunity for us to think about where am I? What have I done? What am I doing? How is my life spiritually? You've all heard the cliche, no pain, no gain. You know that's Bible. We've looked at this passage a couple times already on Thursday and Friday night. But one more time, look at, and this will be the last time. I say one more time as if this is the last time, but it's not. Romans chapter 5, this time we'll just read verses 3 and 4. Romans 5, beginning in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out on our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. No pain, no gain. You see it? No tribulation, no perseverance. No perseverance, no character. No character, no hope. No pain, no gain. James, in James chapter 1, will say that our faith is perfected through trials. If we allow the trials to have its perfect work. Suffering teaches us lessons that maybe we would have a hard time understanding otherwise. And maybe the best lesson of all is that sometimes you just got to deal with the situation. And again, Sometimes people don't like that, but that's absolutely the truth. Sometimes you just have to deal with it. I mean, you know, it may be something as silly as sitting in a waiting room. What are you going to do? All you can do is sit there and wait. Sometimes maybe you've run out of money and you still got some months to go. What do? You just got to deal with it. And sometimes it's you who have to deal with it. You know, I'm looking at a lot of men. I'm looking at a lot of dads here. You know, Dad, this thing you just got to deal with. Because that's your job. That's why God put you there. That's why God put men in those positions. It's because they have to deal with some things. Remember he told Ezekiel? He told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, I got something for you to do. You're going to have to stand in the gap. You're going to have to tell people. You're going to have to be a watchman. You don't do your job, you're going to die. And you're going to lose your soul. Just that simple. But if you stand up and you do your job, you can save yourself. And you might save some people, some other people in the process. But he said, you'll definitely save yourself. If you don't save anybody else, do your job. Sometimes all we can do is wait for the next pain shot. Have you ever been to the hospital where they give those people the automatic medicating thing? I think that's a great idea. I mean, that's a fine idea, don't get me wrong. But, you know, have you ever been there and you see somebody and they're just, you know, clicking it the whole time, you know? But you know what? It doesn't matter how many times you click it until that clock rolls around and says next time you can have another one. It's not going to give you any more pain. Pain also reminds us that there are no earthly answers for the world's problems. There's not. Sometimes all you can do is have faith in God and trust in Him and look forward to what's coming next. This is something that I have learned myself, and that is that sometimes our own suffering and pain helps us be more compassionate with people and less judgmental. And you know what that is? That's character. Perseverance brings character. Because I learned not to be so judgmental. When you've endured pain, you look back. It's also an opportunity for you to look back and see that God had never left you. Just as a song that we sang. Our lesson for the next hour is going to be the fact that God doesn't leave us. We might leave Him, but He won't leave us. And you know what that is? That's hope. Something else that makes pain a blessing is that it produces in us a desire for eternity. Again, I want to make it clear that while God made the mechanism for pain, He created that mechanism for pain in our lives, not all pain can be attributed to Him. I would even go as far as to say that most pain in this world isn't because of Him. It's because we live in a broken and dying world. It comes from living in a world that is overflowing with sin. And you know, here's another. This is just a... I'll throw this in. I won't charge you any extra for this one. But I don't think the world's any more evil than it's ever been. I think just the more spiritually aware we become, the more evil we see. I mean, if any of you all think that this was ever a country that was one nation under God, you're confused. You don't know history. Same thing seemed a whole lot worse. But you know what? If we were living in 1950 and we were dealing with all the divorce issues that were rising up against us, you know what we would say? The same thing. God hasn't asked any of y'all to build an ark yet, has He? Because back in that day, the thought of every man always was evil continually. This has always been a broken and dying world. And what it does for me is it makes me want to live someplace else. You know, I'd like to pack my bags and go someplace where to a nation where there is no sin. You want to move to India, where it's illegal in a lot of states for Christians to convert people, where there have been actual incidents of people under the big banner of Christianity have been pulled out of their homes and burned with fire. Do you want to move to Vietnam where if you get caught with the Bible, you go to prison? How about Cuba? That's really close. You want to go there where if you get caught with the Bible, you can go to prison? No, there's only one place we can go. And that's heaven. I work hard to avoid pain. I do. But I know that ultimately the hard work that I have to do is spiritual, and it makes me long for this place. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 3, John writes, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." No more pain. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2 not to love the world or the things that are in the world. And he says the only thing that's in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's it. I've thought about that, not always. I've thought about that recently. You know, you can only lust for something you don't have. And every one of those things are lusts that are in the world because the world can't give you what it claims to be able to give you. And it's dying. And it's passing away. And in truth, it is just a place filled with pain. Instead, we need to be enduring this life, looking forward to something better. Again, a passage we've looked at every day so far. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says, "My light affliction is in me, and is producing a desire for heaven, for something eternal, for something greater for me." And that's where we need to be. Maybe that's why the older we get, the more pain we feel. Lee and I were having a conversation. I think it was all four of us just having a conversation. Just about, you know, I'm going to be 49 years old in a month. To some of you, that's young. To some of y'all, that's ancient. You know, I get that. But I feel like I think I'm 19. Except when my back hurts. Or my neck hurts, or my shoulder hurts because of the pain that I live with because my body is breaking down. And I know there's somebody out there thinking, "You don't even know." And I you're right. I don't. I said this same thing maybe in a different sermon one time about right where John was sitting. There was a man who was 90, I think he was 93 at the time. By the grace of God, he's still alive. He was like, "Simon, you don't have a clue. Just for me to stand up from this pew causes pain from my toe to my jaw." But maybe that's why. Because I get a better body. My stepdad, who is my dad, he passed away July a couple of years ago. And one of the things he would always tell Teresa, he would say, "You know, heaven's going to be better for me because I'm going to get a new voice and you're not." You know, just teasing Teresa that she had that pretty of a voice. But he died of pancreatic cancer after dealing with thyroid cancer for about 5 years. This whole part of his neck was gone when he died, just from it having to be cut out. And he was looking forward to a new body. Talked to a man who was an elder in the church. It's been many years ago. His name was John Bailey. And I went to John Bailey's house on a Thursday afternoon because he knew he was going to die. And we sat there and we talked about his funeral. He no longer had stomach or intestines because all that had to be removed because of cancer. And cancer was back. There was nothing else to remove. Talked about his funeral. Sat there for a minute quietly, and I said, "John, is there anything else?" He said, "No. But I want you to know I'm excited.
I'm going home. I'm going to get to see the Lord. And he died 3 days later. And we all rejoiced with him because he got to put off the pain of this life. We've got to remember that heaven is real. You know, we have at least one account of a guy who saw heaven. And he came back and to tell us that he saw heaven. And it's the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 2. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter. So here's a man. I don't know how, he says, but saw heaven. Jesus came down from heaven. And he told us about heaven. It's real. Heaven is real. Can't tell you how many times I've said or how many times I've heard other people say something like, I just don't know how I would deal with this without faith. Because again, as I said a couple of nights ago, heaven is that great trump card. I don't know if you play cards, you know, rook, you know, it's the rook card. If you play spades, it's the ace of spades. That when we've got it, we win. And I compared it to short-timer's attitude, if you remember me talking about that. I'm going to heaven. And if I endure pain in this life, that's okay, because someday it's going to go away. And it's going to go away forever. Well, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, okay, all that sounds good, but I'm still not really buying it. I still don't know why there has to be so much pain in the world. Well, my last point is this, that without pain, we would feel nothing. You know, there are people in this world today who can't feel pain. I read a book by an NFL coach a couple years ago. The coach's name is Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy has a son who his nerves don't work. He does not feel pain. This young man has actually reached into the stove before and grabbed molten hot chocolate chip cookies with his hands and eaten them. He got blisters on his hands. He got blisters on his mouth. He got blisters in his throat because of that. He bangs into things and bleeds and does not know. Modern medical science tells us that one of the most debilitating effects of leprosy is this inability to feel pain. That may be really what leprosy is all about. The pain in your the nerve endings in your skin die, and so you can't feel pain anymore. And that may, there was a in this one study, you've heard people say that with lepers, their fingers will fall off and stuff like that. Well, in this one study, in India, what they found out was the lepers' fingers were not falling off. Rats were coming in the middle of the night and eating their fingers off, and they just didn't know. That's horrible. And yet, when you get to Mark chapter 1, we read about a guy who comes to Jesus and essentially says, I want to feel pain again. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cleansed. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there was a lot more involved in leprosy than just this. But that man had to know he was going to feel pain again. Why? Why, when he was able to escape from pain, would he want to be able to feel pain again? And the answer is simply this. Because at this moment in his life, he feels nothing. Feels nothing. The only way we can get pain out of our life is if we make the choice to feel nothing. And some people try that. Some people become callous and they try that. Maybe we grow close to somebody and they hurt us. And we say, well, I'm never going to get close to anybody else again. I'm never going to give anybody else an opportunity to hurt me like that. Maybe we reach out to a struggling Christian to try to help them. And all they do is take advantage of us. And we say, well, I'm not going to do that again. Nobody's ever going to take advantage of me again. Maybe we try to share the gospel with somebody that we love and they just ridicule us and make us feel bad. And we think, well, I'm not going to do that again. The first person I ever really played a role in baptizing, or not, well, converting, however you want to say that, his name is Kevin Blake, a good friend of mine from high school. We've been friends for a long time. And been talking to him about spiritual things for a long time. And finally, he obeyed the gospel. 6 months later, he left the Lord. Last time I saw him, he was wanting to rejoice with him because he was getting married for the third time. I seriously thought to myself after Blakey fell away, I'm not converting any of my friends again because I don't want to lose any more friends. But you know what that does? It leads us to become numb and miserable. And I also want you to know that living in such a state makes us sickening to God. Look at what he says in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. These people are numb. They feel nothing. They're not cold. They're not hot. They don't feel anything. They're lukewarm. And what's God say? You make me sick. In Zechariah's day, God talks to Israel who had found themselves in the same situation. And he tells them, there's only one thing I can do with you in this state. And it's Zechariah chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. He says, but they refused to heed, shrugging their shoulders, stopping their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent to them by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from God, from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as He proclaimed that they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. God's saying, what else could I have done but cast you away from me? You won't listen. You won't change. So I'm just going to be done with you. You want to know why so many people live grossly immoral lives? It's because they've ignored the pain of their conscience for so long that they feel nothing. And so they're desperate to feel anything, even if that means they have to be grossly immoral. And again, I think Paul warns us
about this. And you know, I almost like reading this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. And instead of using the word Gentiles, sometimes I like to use the word Americans. In Ephesians 4, in verse 17, he says, "And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Americans walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." They are just desperate to feel something. And so they are willing to go to extreme, gross measures in order to feel something. And in spite of all of that pleasure-seeking raunchiness, they still feel empty. God doesn't want that for us. So if you keep reading in verse 20, he says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." God wants us to feel. He wants us to feel depths of love that we've never felt before. Turn back a page in your Bible, or maybe it's on the same page for you, but look at what he says in chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He's saying, listen, I want you to feel. I want you to feel deeply. I want you to feel everything. I want you to have the fullness of God. That's what God wants for us. Sometimes there has to be some pain in there to truly experience the joy and the depth of this love. We've got to accept some pain and ridicule and maybe some shame sometimes. Cutting ourselves off from that kind of pain is cutting ourselves off from that kind of love. And that is completely incompatible with the Savior who came here to feel pain. And who profess that God's greatest commandment is love. Maybe one of the saddest things Jesus ever said about the Jews of His day was that the hearts of this people have grown dull. Because at that moment, what can God do for them? So if we turn off the Word of God because it hurts, if we turn off brethren who are trying to help correct us in a spiritual way because it hurts, if we stop listening to preaching because it's negative, we miss out. We miss out on a chance to enjoy the blessing of knowing who God really is. We miss out on the opportunity to truly know the depth, the length, and the width, and the height of love. And if we refuse to change when God chastens us because it's hurt, we can just expect to feel the fullness of His wrath when this life is over. It's not my desire to belittle anybody who's living in pain, be emotional,
spiritual or physical. But I want you to know that some good can come out of our pain. And there's coming a day when we can put off the pain of this body, the pain of living in this world, and live in a place where there's no death, no sorrow, no pain, and no end. That's just hard to comprehend. But I long for that great and glorious day. Again, thank you so much for your lesson, or for your attention. We're gonna let George tell us what we're gonna do next.